Speaking of tracks,
Graham Dillette almost won that tournament a few years
ago. Brian, we got to do something here because Jeff and Kara got the bet going on the golf thing.
Right.
We got to figure out the parameters for that big event.
Well, we're not going to talk about it on National Women's Day.
International.
Not only did she say she would take you down, Jeff, she said Tessa would take you down. She brought Tessa, and I don't know where Tessa is.
No, she said Tessa would outdrive me by 20 yards.
You can bomb it off the tee. You can bomb it over 300 yards.
If Tessa Bonhomme can hit it 320, then...
Get her on tour. Like, why is she not on tour?
She might not have the hands to finish.
Maybe she got no short game. Yeah. That's my problem.
So, anyway, we got to get on this. This could be a big event here at TSN.
Yeah, let's get the cameras out and everything.
Oh, yeah.
All right, joining us now on the... it's Overdrive Hotline. It's just on the phone.
On International Women's Day?
Right. Brought to you by Value Financial. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Hey, you're back.
You're back. I missed you yesterday.
Oh, one day back. You're right. I'm so sour I missed yesterday because we discussed this when you were away, how crappy you were going to be yesterday.
He was good.
Was he?
Yeah. For some reason, he just had a...
From holiday.
Yeah, I know. Usually, Ray, you know this. Like, when he comes back from holidays, that first day back, it's just rotten.com. But this guy, he brought it.
There's a maturity here to Hayes. I'm impressed.
Well, the guy finished vacay on Sunday. He should be good to go on a Wednesday.
No, that's not true. I flew back on Tuesday. Why would I fly back on Sunday and come to work on Wednesday?
Who makes those arrangements, though?
What do you mean?
Don't you just, say, oh, I'm going to go from Sunday to Tuesday? Most people go Monday to Sunday or whatever.
Well, I was a big part of Trade Center, so I left on Tuesday. I went Tuesday, and as a result, I wanted to get a full weekend. I don't know. I took advantage of the time off that I have. It's in the contract. Take advantage. Right, Ray?
Yeah, well, you know, you must, you know, I mean, because you're just grinding it, so you must be exhausted.
Well, so, I am.
You know, I'm happy to have you back. Scotty Mack, by the way, don't go away too long, or your chair is going to be a different size. That guy killed it.
I know. He's a spectacular talent.
He is.
I'm a big fan.
I will say this, though. I heard your conversation on the way in. I know it's International Women's Day. I will bet... Almost everything that I have that Tessa can't drive the ball in the neighborhood of O. Like, not near him, but in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
No. We're not having this discussion on International Women's Day.
We could have it tomorrow then.
Okay.
You know what was interesting though, Ray? It was more the way Kara was throwing down the gauntlet to challenge Jeff. Yeah. It wasn't so much about the braggadocio?
Braggadocio.
Oh, yeah. It was more about how she threw the gauntlet down. You had to see, he was like, I'm not doing this, and he still doesn't want to do it.
Well, hey, look, I'm not going to be that guy. How could you be doing that on International?
International. Get it right, dude.
Yeah, Tessa Bonhomme, her tee shots go 500 yards. That's what we're talking about.
She's happy, Gilmore.
Cammy Granato is... No. Yes.
Yeah, Cammy.
Now Cammy Ferraro is the greatest women's hockey player ever.
Depends on acting those days. Yeah, I think she would say, you know, she'd be in support of the ladies here, and then she'd go, oh, I can't hit it that far. Or, like, I'm scared to play these girls now if they can hit it. Like, how far are they hitting it? Oh, 500 yards?
Ray, I have to ask you, and this is International Women's Day, but has anybody ever said to you, happy, like, Man's Day? Like, is there you said there was one?
I don't think there is one. Again, like we've pointed out, for the past 500 years, if not more than that, 5,000 years, it's been International Man's Day or Men's Day pretty much every single day of the year.
Why is that? Because we wake up and we're alive?
Do you really have to go over the history of the planet?
Well, you know what?
You gonna play stupid?
The garbage that's been going on the last... We don't deserve one anymore. Basically, but...
Well, it wasn't a recent development. It's just come to the public eye recently. It's not as if this just started with Harvey Weinstein.
Okay, well, sorry, I think I'm a good person and I'm a nice man.
Who's grilling you?
No, I'm just saying. We're not all horrible pieces of garbage.
Okay. Anyway, no, Ray?
To my knowledge, this just started about can Tessa drive a golf ball as far as you?
She does. She hits it 500 yards. It's the best.
I would bet everything that I own that I can't drive it as far as you.
No,
so
me
what
neither.
The hell does that matter? It is. Yeah. You know, like, anyway, we better move on before by the way, I'm going to throw one more thing out. I don't know where the hell I've been, but I just watched the rematch of the, you know, the challenge against the trivia nerds there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two things. They were getting some hellacious questions.
As far as what? Ours were the same.
Oh, no, they weren't. You
right.
Some of the questions you guys got, you know, what comes after Tuesday, I thought that was a little light. You know, O coming up with 11 championships was outstanding because Hayes didn't have any idea, no. And O came up big.
Mm-hmm.
But they were getting, you know, like, they got some brutal questions. That's number one. And number two, they should never come out in public again with such a sorry-ass attempt. That was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
We don't want to see them again.
It was like 6-2 before you could scratch your ear.
Right.
I'm like, man, they stunk. They're terrible, those two guys.
They're brutal.
Who we want next is you and CC. If you guys can ever pull that off, you're ever in Toronto.
You're challenging us?
Yep. Yeah. You and Cuthbert.
Oh, my God. This would be a steamroll.
No, it wouldn't,
no,
Craig.
That's what these losers said.
By the way, I don't know if you, and I'll tell you why. You guys may not know, but Chris Cuthbert is a gossip from the movies hound. He knows, the pop culture stuff, I would just back away. CC would knock it out of the park.
That's fine. That's four of 16, right?
You're talking like those other two nerds did before
sports
they came
and history,
in here, right?
I'm in. Sports and history, I'm in.
Yeah, well, geography that's our strong
no
suit. Yeah. We'll own geography.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, and we'll continue
Newfoundland
to.
Or Prince Edward Island.
Or what was the name of that mountain that we were supposed to be talking
Kilimanjaro.
About? No, it wasn't. It was...
No, Kilimanjaro is not in North America.
Machu Picchu. Whatever the
that's
hell it
is. That's in Peru.
It's Machu Picchu.
Right.
Yeah, in Peru.
But
yeah.
O thought it was in India because his buddy was scaling it, and he was apparently in India.
I thought Machu Picchu was in India.
Did your buddy actually go to that mountain, though? Like,
My buddy... I'll show you his Instagram. He's a former NHL player. This guy goes surfing in Costa Rica, and then the next week he's on Machu Picchu.
Okay, that would make sense. If you go from Costa Rica to Peru, it's in the same time zone and hemisphere.
Dude, I don't know that.
But where did India come from?
I thought it was India. He's been to India, too, in the last year.
Okay. Well, the problem is that
there's a mountain in India, too, that he was hiking.
Yeah.
And what's it called, Ray? Do you know the mountain in India? There's
no.
A big one.
Well, Cuthbert better know or you're in trouble. No, Everest is in, it's not in India. I don't know where it is. It's over there. It's somewhere in that
region. I'm talking like a big one, too, where you hike up and you see dead people on the side because they can't breathe.
Yeah, that's Everest.
Jeez, let's go there. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah. No
and,
kidding.
And Chris, he did Kilimanjaro, didn't he, Ray?
Yes, he did.
Him and his wife?
Cuthbert did that.
He climbed up to base camp there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is amazing because CC can't find his car in the parking lot, so it's amazing he could get up that high.
He's an interesting cat. He's an international man of mystery, that Chris Cuthbert.
He is. Yeah. He absolutely is.
Well, that's on the table, so if you guys can work it out.
We're going to make it happen.
We'll make that happen.
I'd like the challenge, but O has to wear that football helmet again.
Superstition
that thing
alone.
Looks like it's put on with a hammer.
You should see it being taken off. Surgery.
It looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. But
Ray,
it works.
Ray, we have to ask you one hockey question on this show. What do you think about the timing of what happened down in Carolina with our buddy?
Well, let's explain it here. Let me just run it down because not everyone's aware of it. Tom Dundon is his name, the recent owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, and he officially bought the team about a month ago, I guess, month and a half ago. And Ronnie Francis has been the GM. This is his fourth full season. And last night it was announced that he has been moved to a different position within the organization, but won't be the GM anymore. And the new GM will report directly to the owner, not Ron Francis. So that's the story, and I guess what makes it interesting is that the owner, it sounds as if his new owner kind of wants to run the team, like Jerry Jones and Mark Cuban, and be pretty hands-on.
Okay, so couple of things for me here is, one is the, you know, when you look at Ron's performance as the general manager, in my mind, there's no question he is hampered or handcuffed by their lack of finances in his tenure.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
You want to hire more scouts? No budget. You want to hire a secondary goalie coach? No budget. You want to make a trade for the centerman that they desire? No budget. So it's really difficult to evaluate any of these guys that are in the smallest of markets that and Carolina's had no finances for years. You know, how do you evaluate them against a league in a lot of cases that has way more resource to do the same things you're trying to do? That's on one side of it. The second side is they've made some moves that, of course, fall under the GM that haven't worked out very well. You know, the goalie is number one. I mean, that's been a train wreck. Number two is, you know, they made a bet on Victor Rask, 6 years, $24 million, and that hasn't worked out very good. They drafted Elias Lindholm. The next pick was Sean Monahan. They drafted Noah Hanifin in the same draft as a couple other defensemen that you would say, ooh, gee, maybe that was, while Noah Hanifin's good, these other guys might have been better. But every GM's got that. So I come back to, I know Ronnie's smart, and I know he's got a good vision for the game, but he didn't have the resources that the new owner is going to provide for whoever the new GM is. And so that's, I don't know how I would ever be able to really evaluate what the hell he did, because it was like he was in a fight with one arm tied behind his back. The fact that the owner wants to be involved, hell, it's his money. And if he wants to be involved, that's great. I don't understand what Ron's position is if he's not even really going to be consulted on the hockey side.
I think
what's the point?
I think Dave Naylor has a classic quote. The worst combination in sports is an owner with a couple beers in him in the video room. And once you get that...
Well, he won't be the first one to do it. I'm with you, Ray. He bought the team. He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants,
whatever
Brian.
He wants.
But what the hell does this guy know about hockey? What is it, the new GM? First of all, who's the new GM going to be? And what is he going to report to the owner?
Well,
the owner doesn't know crap about hockey.
I think that's an interesting angle to this. Does the new GM immediately just coddle to whatever the owner wants anyway? Like, are you really going to be hiring a GM who's going to have an opinion, or will he just have the opinion that he believes the owner is looking for?
Well, is Tom Rowe available?
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe that's what you're basically looking for, is a guy who's going to come in and do whatever the owner... Let's be honest. There's a similar situation in Ottawa right now. Like, the owner in Ottawa, by all accounts, is hands-on with everything, too, and is in on what's going on. And in a lot of ways, I feel for Pierre Dorion, because it feels like everything he has to do has to go through the owner, at least from the outside. So
you know what's crazy about this theory, about this line of thought, though, Brian, is that these guys make their hundreds of millions or $1 billion or $2 billion in the business world because they have an idea, they take over a company, they grow a company, but they don't grow it themselves. They have their own finance people, they have their own research and development people, and they let those people do what they do. Then they get involved with a sports team, and all of a sudden they think that they're going to shortcut or they're going to go around what they've done in the business world. Like, there are plenty of people that are really smart in the business world, and one of the things they do, if you read any of their leadership books or read any interviews that they do, it's that they hire the best people available and they let them do their thing. Then it comes to sports, and some guy with a Jones for the sports says, I'm gonna be involved in all the personnel decisions. Well, what the hell would if I had $1 billion, I love baseball, and I buy a baseball team. You know, I think I know baseball, but how the heck would I get involved in who we're going to trade or draft? Like, that's not what I do. That's not, and this is not what the owner does in any city. And the ones that stick their thumbs in, a lot of times it just doesn't work because that's not their expertise. I never understood why owners do that. They make their money by running a business, and they stick to what they know best, and they hire the best people available to do the other stuff. And then it comes to sports, and they go the other way. I don't get it.
And you know what, Ray? It's interesting, because that's why I think Tim Leiweke is the leading sports executive in North America.
Because he hires people and lets them do what they
do. He did it in L.A. He did it in Toronto. He's going to do it in Seattle.
But he's never been the owner.
Yeah, but you know what? He doesn't get involved with an owner unless that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
And he's not does what he does, and he shuttles off, you know, to the general manager, well, run the thing.
That's right.
And if the guy doesn't run the thing and there's no results, then they have to make a change. But in the meantime, now, the one thing about Tim is, like, he's got a very, you know, he's very sure of what the road should look like, what the direction is, and sometimes he kicks over a few chairs and leaves a mess on the way to wherever he's going, but he lets the people do the job that they're supposed to do. Maybe that's going to happen in Carolina, I don't know, but I don't get, like, what is this title of that Ron has now, director of hockey operations, if nobody's reporting to him?
Well,
like, what does that mean you do?
I don't know.
Think it's a situation where they want to save face here, and he's a Hall of Famer, he's Mr. Carolina Hurricane, they didn't want to say you're fired. I don't know.
That's kind of the sense I get, but I'm also not going to cry a river for Ron Francis, because if he wanted to, he could just quit and be like, forget it, I'm out of here.
Maybe he will,
but as of today, he's taken this gig and he's moved on to whatever position he's in.
But ultimately, that gig means nothing.
It's the wrong title. Guys, it's the wrong title then. Because if the GM's not reporting to him, then he shouldn't be director of hockey operations. He should be the president. But they hired Don Waddell to do that. I mean, Don was the general manager and president in Atlanta. Ugh. And you saw how that went for us there.
Ray, Don Waddell, he does community relations and stuff like that. I don't think he's...
But that's what's happened in the hockey world now. Everything's confusing with the titles. Like, let's be honest, in Toronto, no one really knows what Shanahan does. Like, no one knows exactly what he does. He's the president. He goes to the Board of Governors meetings. He speaks to the media twice a year. I don't know. Like, is he sitting there in the boardroom? He's there at the draft.
When I think of his position, I only think of one thing. He runs the operation.
Okay.
Like, that's all I can think.
I think so, too. But then why are we interviewing Lou Lamoriello about the trade they just made? Why am I not talking to Brendan Shanahan?
This is what it feels like to me, as you just described that. Brendan's heavy lifting is already done, or is done for the time being. And that's, he hired Babcock, he hired Lamoriello, Mark Hunter's in place, he hired Kyle Dubas. Like, his heavy lifting's done. He's like a GM post-trade deadline. Most of them kind of wander around because there's nothing for them to do. They can't make any trades. They can have some discussions, maybe set some things up for the draft or postseason, but they can't do anything. And that's kind of where, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of what I see what a president does. They do heavy lifting, then they have to back off, and maybe to our point earlier, they let the people they hire do the job that they're supposed to do.
Well, wouldn't you say there's some heavy lifting coming up when this season's over? Regarding Lou, regarding Matthews, regarding Nylander, regarding Marner. There's some big-time decisions.
And Shanahan's got to be involved in all of
that. Of course. He would be directing traffic, wouldn't he?
Well, he's making the call on Lou. Like, obviously, that's immediately on his desk. Who's going to be the GM? That's Shanahan's job.
Don't underestimate this part of the job. And it's the one that it's not going to get a lot of notoriety. It's not going to be there for him to talk about every day. But all these decisions, owners want to know what they mean. So Brendan Shanahan has to spend a lot of time with ownership explaining to them what these potential moves all mean for the franchise. Mm-hmm. And that takes up a lot of time and energy.
Don't you think he's got the relationship, though, Ray?
Pardon me?
Oh, what do they say? Like, managing up takes almost more energy than managing down.
Absolutely.
And these presidents, the guys that have been installed, part of their job is keeping the owners away from hockey ops.
Yeah, well, I would think that, wouldn't you think one of the deals was Brendan Shanahan said, you let me deal with the hockey stuff? And with what's happened with this organization over the past 2 years, wouldn't you think for once somebody finally has the cachet to go up to this group and say, this is going to be your GM and there's no questions.
But let me just add this, okay? Yeah, okay, he can say that, but then they expect to get understand. They need to be informed at all points in time what's going on. So that's what Ray's talking about. Like, you know what? There is a lot of work. But do not think for one second that Brendan Shanahan isn't spending a lot of time behind the scenes working.
Of course. He's making a lot of money to do it, too. Well, it's not working for free.
Craig, I don't mean that he's not doing anything.
No, no, no. I was saying to Jeff. That wasn't to you, Ray. Oh, I was just
I'm
saying.
Like, the real heavy lifting stuff. the real heavy lifting stuff.
Right.
There's a time frame for it, and then you sit back, and the other guy's got to do what they're doing. Otherwise, Brendan could be the general manager.
Right.
But he's not. He's the president. And a lot of guys, I think, probably prefer that. Not a lot of guys, because there's not many jobs like this, but guys prefer that as opposed to, you know, having to wrestle around and with the everyday of the GM stuff.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Carolina. I hope at the very least this new owner, Tom Dundon, if he's going to be hands-on and involved, then, you know, speak to the fans, be an interesting character in the game. Like, that's from my standpoint. I don't have any connection to that market, to that team. But if you're going to be a character and you're going to be hands-on, then show me something.
Well, I'm with you there that that's obviously a market that could use some character. Because the one thing, you know, his buddy's Mark Cuban. And I'll say when Mark Cuban took over in Dallas, all of a sudden things became, for better or worse, they became a lot more interesting.
Yep.
Like he was always in the news and he's always shelling out $500,000 in fines, because, you know, because he's doing whatever the heck it is he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's interesting, good. And, you know, he's going to hire a general manager. But if it's going to work, the GM's got to be able to do his job. And if Tom Dundon's going to be involved in, you know, this trade of a defenseman for a forward, I don't know how well could he know the players?
No kidding.
How well? You can't.
That's going to get ugly. All right, buddy. Good chatting with you again. And talk to your boy, Chris Cuthbert, and let's set this up.
I will do that. And, get to the driving range. Tomorrow is not International Women's Day.
No, and so we tomorrow can talk is about International tomorrow. Man Day.
I think tomorrow is International Jeff Day. If your name is Jeff, we should celebrate that.
With a G.
G-O-F-F.
So you were so close.
Just missed out.
Where would that ever have come from, the Geoff?
Yeah, Geoff. I don't know. Like, who created Geoff?
One of the great women of the world said, you're Geoff. Well, let's celebrate that.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Later on, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.